shine, rise and shine. Hey, Hardy, wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin boarding. If we could ask for your cooperation, would you all please remain seated?
Well, how'd you sleep last night?
I don't believe that's any of your business.
If you go to a Bansy Fall and you want to have a prance and Hansel all in fub with you, don't forget to slop your dripper.
Mr. Nightlinger, what's for breakfast?
Dude, apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.
You're on the high ground with Craig Flowers.
Well, you're on the high ground with Craig Flowers in about 30 minutes. Johnny, how are we doing this morning?
Living the dream, another day in paradise.
Let's go! Good morning, Texas. Good morning, Texans. Colonel's up there in Abilene, Texas, doing the Aired Out Academy. He'll be calling in the bottom of the hour for about 15 minutes. Tell us what's going on up in beautiful city of Abilene. I'm sure it's nice and about 75 degrees.
Probably just nice and flat.
Flat. You got Jamie Frazier and you've got Willie Brown, our unicorn from Austin, Texas. Good morning, Willie Brown. What's going on?
Yeah, I haven't cleaned my horn lately, so everything's going good today. It's good to see you.
It's good to be in the studio. Johnny, how you been? Looking good? Really happy to see you. You got your team black hat on. It's just a black hat, plain black hat.
Plain black hat.
That's all you've done it. You know what? There's so much going on. I don't know where to start. The list is, we've got the first really pro team playing soccer today.
That's right.
Or football, whatever you want, out there at Q.
Mm-hmm. The Verde section going to go crazy tonight.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
It means green in English.
Yeah, well, Johnny was dressed up like a leprechaun.
That's very true.
Yeah, you got Longhorn baseball coming up.
Oh, yeah, College World Series. Hey, Texas ain't no stranger to Omaha, are they?
No, they've been up there, I think, 30-something times.
37 times, I think. What is it? College World Series, I think, debuted in the 40s. They've been in it in every decade. I think it's 7 or 8 straight decades.
I think you're
my
right.
My math is terrible.
You don't
so
have good math.
Don't really care.
No. And then you've got
they're up there a lot.
You got the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a...
I can't wait to see what the USGA does for the weekend. I think the leader is 5 under, and that committee, they like to have the winner around par, so they might be tricking that course up on the weekend, drying out. You might see some high scores out there, which will be fun.
Pin placement, just throwing it out anywhere.
Oh my God, I watched some crazy stuff on YouTube with the Barstool Sports guys, and they were hanging out with the greens crew of Torrey Pines and showing how the process they go to find the hole placements. And some of those hole placements they find, there's no way I can make better than like a triple bogey on some of those holes.
I look at how they read some of these shots, and they're shooting. It's just crazy. I don't know how they do it. And what is it? Driver show, putt for dough. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, well, now it's this week you've ever hitting the fairway, so.
Yeah,
well. And putt for dough, that's for sure.
But for us local guys here, our boys are up there in Omaha, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about the last time they won it all up in Omaha, Nebraska. Oh my gosh. And that leads us to our biggest sponsor, Chiso's Boots. Boots that fit like leather slippers, and the Chiso's Morning Story.
Story. The Morning Story.
The story, morning story.
The story, morning story. I love it.
Really quick, I just want to, you were around here for 2005, Augie Garrido. He's a story in himself.
Oh, yeah, that guy's a character. I loved Augie.
Interesting cat. Do you remember the meltdown in the locker room?
Who could not forget that video?
If you're out there listening and you have not seen that,
I think you can Google Augie Garrido coaching rant, YouTube, something like that, and it's classic. He goes about about, I think, probably a few minutes of just undressing everybody in that room. And then by the end of it, he's just chewing himself out. He's like, I failed you. It's Bat, on me.
Bat boy, come here.
Yeah. I just love it, man. He is... I would go to war with that guy.
Right. So I'm kind of reflecting back on their championship win in 2005 and kind of running against how these guys were this year. UT ended up winning the Big 12, and then they went and took it to the last game of the Big 12 conference, their tournament.
So you're talking in 2005 that they made it all the way to the conference finals.
No,
yeah, tournament.
I'm talking right now.
Okay.
Is how they've made it to, you know, they've got a great team. Now, this team in 2005, and this is Kirk Bowles wrote from Statesman, and what he said, Texas did it the hard way in 2005. They did not win the Big 12 regular season. In fact, they came in third in the Big 12 regular season. And they did not qualify as one of the eight national seeds.
Yep.
I mean, they were a dark horse up there.
So they did get a regional that year in 2005.
They did, but they didn't get like.
But they were one of the seeds from 9 to 16.
Correct. Right, but they did not get the top eight seeds. And they won five straight elimination games in the regionals. And super regional action.
That's awesome.
That's coming from the cellar.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, they just blew these guys in the regional and in the super regional. They just majority of the games they just blew them away. Super regional, they did not. But everything else, they were just smoking double digits.
Who'd they match up with the super regional?
Oh gosh, I think
it was Mississippi State.
You were at it.
I think it's Mississippi State. Or, I needed to look, but I think
playing Mississippi State.
Well, I know, but I think in 2005 they had to go to Starksville for that super regional to get to Omaha. So it's kind of you've got some similarities. And I might be wrong on that, but I know one of the national title years they had to go through Starksville to get to the championship.
Yeah, and Mississippi State is sitting there. That's what they're saying. If they can get by Mississippi State, they have pretty much smooth sailing.
Yeah, I think so. And this will obviously be a challenge because Texas lost first game of the year to Mississippi State, and they had that TD Ameritrade or something in that Globe Life Park in Dallas. They kind of had like a little SEC Big 12. Little tournament thing at the beginning of the year where Texas kind of just got dominated by three SEC teams.
Yeah, and SEC's actually come out a long way. Big 12's always been very powerful in the College World Series. But yeah, I was just looking and they, you know, they won two straight victories in 2005 at the SEC Power Mississippi that followed on an opening game defeat.
Oh, was that Ole Miss, not Mississippi State? Miss. Okay, I was wrong on that. I knew it was one of the Mississippis.
But they are. There's the very interesting different paths to get to the College World Series up in Omaha. And have you ever been up to Omaha?
No, I haven't. I've always wanted to do the RV thing, rent an RV, go up there, park it with all the other RV guys, and just hang out for a week and tailgate, cook, do the whole thing.
It's not a huge town.
It's not
a big town. Mm-mm. And I tell you what, I've been up there during the wintertime, and it's just tough to get around because you get like 2 feet of snow everywhere you go.
Yeah.
But it's different paths, but they're up there. They're no strangers to the College World Series going up to Omaha. And you know they gotta play Mississippi State tomorrow night.
Yeah,
that is going to be a blast. Here's the Vegas odds makers have Texas as a 5-2, Vanderbilt as a favorite, and they're tied with Vanderbilt at 5-2. And then they have Tennessee 9-2, Arizona 17-2, Mississippi State 17-2, Stanford 10-1, North Carolina State 12-1, and Virginia 14-1.
Yeah. Well, what I know about Vanderbilt is they probably had the two best pitchers in college. I think they have their 1 and 2 guys are, you know, first round picks in the MLB or maybe even top 10 guys. So whenever you get into a tournament type of situation, good pitching always beats good hitting. So if you can get the get two dominant pitchers on a roll in the College World Series, I think Vanderbilt really is the team to beat. And Texas is probably have the best all around team.
Right.
So you know, to me, I think those are the two teams that match up.
I'm just excited. It's going to be fun.
Oh yeah, I love college baseball too.
Yeah,
you know?
It's going to be a blast. And I'm looking forward to. I mean, it kind of kicks this that they're going to a natty now, and football's coming up, and it just kind of gets you in the right mood to keep going out. I'm surprised Matthew McConaughey could make it up there for the
the culture minister is going to be here, isn't he?
He's going to be here.
That's right.
Bongos in the Q Stadium.
Bongos and all with salsa verde.
I guess there's a big announcement coming up in the Colonel's deal down here. He's got himself a new golf cart he wants to talk about.
That's pretty cool, man.
It's not. So give me a little brief on what's going on with the U.S. Open. We'll talk about
it
later.
The U.S. Open, yeah, we'll get more into it a little bit later. Let's just, you know, have a little rundown to start the morning off here. Obviously, I mean, you got Russell Henley leading tied with Richard Bland, which I have no idea who Richard Bland is. Looks like a guy from the U.K., but you got some notables like Usti up there, Matt Wolf, the young kid, Jon Rahm, who probably, you know, I mean, if anybody has karma this week, it's got to be him, right?
Yeah, he lost 1.7
Yeah, him and
million.
Bubba and Xander Schauffele. I mean, you've got a really good leaderboard. Brooks Koepka's, you know, 5 shots back. DeChambeau and Koepka are both even par. I would love to see the USGA grow some cojones and put them together.
Oh, that would be great.
You know?
For primetime
watch. Oh, yeah, today?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I haven't looked at the tee times yet, but that would be cool to watch them play with each other.
Are you going to watch the soccer match?
You know, I've watched some of the previous games. So, I mean, if it's on and I'm around the television, I'll watch it.
No one gives you the channel changer.
I've actually watched a full game, and then I've watched a few halves of some games. So I'm not, you know, and the funny thing is, I caught myself standing up and cheering one time when they scored a goal. I was like, well, that's my hometown, that's my team. Screw
it. The logistics to get up there, they have absolutely no parking up
there
in that stadium. None.
Yeah, and but it's Austin, Texas.
It is, and they built that stadium to be a mass transit to get up there. And they want you to use the train. They're going to put a train stop. They're going to make an additional one. They haven't put it up there, which is funny because the train stop is right behind my house over there in MLK. And nobody has been on the train for COVID. Like nobody. I see empty trains back and forth. And I actually want to go over there in the afternoon just to see if anybody shows up for the train.
We should go hang out on the train one day.
Oh yeah, it's fun.
Why not? Just go ride around.
Oh, I've done it.
I'm actually going to petition the city. I want to go from my house to the new stadium. I want to go train to gondola, up a ladder, down a slide, onto a golf cart, transfer over to a go-kart, and then you arrive. Can we make that happen?
Yeah. I mean
didn't we get like a $1 billion bond package? We can't add some slides to get to some places. Come on, Austin.
I mean, you get on the train, it's got Wi-Fi, it's got air conditioning, and you sit back. You can go all the way up to Leander, you know? It might not. And we'll be back from the high ground. Wait for it. It's going to come.
I'm waiting, Jamie.
That's it. It's one of my favorite songs. There it comes. Boom. And you guys are back at the high ground. with a little bit of Emma's front. On an awesome looking Saturday morning. It's supposed to get like 97 degrees and nice, balmy 97 degrees.
I want to tell Golf Lingo, thank you. Thank you for informing me about who Richard Bland is. No, I'm serious. Like, I had no idea. He told me that this guy won for the first time after 478 starts on the European Tour. Colonel, he's the oldest guy to be leading the U.S. Open after two rounds at 48 years old. Good information. This is kind of cool.
How's Phil doing? Does he make a cut even? I don't know. I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. Why am I such a...
Hey, yeah, hit us up on the Vaqueros text line. Love to hear from you guys. 512-337-3776. Mm-hmm.
You know, Jordan made the cut after a 77. He shot 69 yesterday, which is kind of cool.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about pro football. What's going on?
Oh, man, your favorite subject.
It's an interesting subject for me, especially fantasy football coming up, and that's always a fun group
dude,
of guys we have.
That is like 4 months of glory for us.
Yeah, I can't believe Jaime's going to finally pay up for his loss last year.
What is his punishment for coming in last place
okay,
in our league?
We're and Will Brown's in it. We have 12 guys in our fantasy football league, and... Since COVID, our last place guy could not fulfill his commitment to when he came in last place. He needs to dress like a superhero, and at Little Woodrow's
downtown
on 6th Street, he needs to go into the men's room and pass out hand towels and mints on a Saturday night.
So if you see a Hispanic guy with long hair dressed up like Wonder Woman handing out... breath mints in a men's restroom at Lil Woodrow's, just go say, hey, Jaime, congratulations for losing your league last year. I love that guy, and I love that he's the one that brought it up to you. Hey, dude, we can't do punishment during COVID. There's not enough people. He's like, we got to have a Saturday night.
He wants the full effect.
That's greatness. We love you, Jaime. Yeah. That's funny.
So they did come out with the quarterback rankings, which are interesting, and I think he probably, of the NFL, I think you could probably tell me who number one is. There's a couple surprises.
What, Andy Dalton? No, I'm just kidding. Mahomes.
Of course. Mahomes.
Who's it? Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, those guys.
Yeah, Brady number two, I mean, he's got the numbers to do it. Aaron number on the third. Russell Wilson's in the fourth. Going on down, there's going to be so many swapping quarterbacks. And no one really knows what's going to happen at the Houston Texans. Because, you know, we're waiting for what's going to drop.
Well, you tell me what's going on.
I really haven't. They have not really been pushing out information about...
Gun to head, does Deshaun Watson take the first snap, Nick, this year?
I don't think he will.
No?
I don't think he will. I'm sure the NFL is doing an investigation, and he's got so much legal problems. I don't think he will.
That leaves Houston and Houston fans in a really bad spot.
It does. And he was... he was also pushing for a trade. He wanted out of there. And, I don't know. Baker Mayfield is number 10. Baker Mayfield has got an amazing football team. I did not know where this is going, but the interesting trade lately has been Julio Jones over to the Tennessee Titans. That is going to be, I mean, you got Henry.
Well, that puts them right there back in the, I mean, you've got to think that they're the team to play KC in the AFC Championship now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tannehill is a pretty serviceable quarterback. I really like him in the NFL.
Well, if you have a guy
even though he's an Aggie.
Yeah, if you have a guy like Henry to hand the ball off to.
Yeah, he opens up a lot of stuff. Yeah. Absolutely. I've got a question for you on that quarterback list. Where do they put the rookies? Like, where do they have Trevor Lawrence on there? Do they have him on there as a grade, or are they speculating on where he would rank? Because I honestly think that Trevor Lawrence would come in and maybe be a top 15 quarterback right off the bat.
Well, he's not in the top 15.
He's not?
No. I mean, my substitute quarterback is usually Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Always disappoints me. Yeah. Always. Complete disappointment.
Yeah.
Big Ben, no, I don't. He kind of sucked it up last year.
Yeah.
He did. They had a great, they were undefeated for so long, and they just kind of fell apart.
Well, they've had such a good experience on that team. Do you think it's just like an age thing once you get towards the end of the year? I mean, the legs just aren't there. I mean, Ben is not a, you know,
he's not a spring chicken anymore.
No, but you know what? But then again, you look at Brady and he looks like a spring chicken. He's 43 years old, 42 years old.
You're looking, one of my favorite ones to watch too is, I mean, the only rookie I see really starting is for the Jaguars.
Lawrence.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Chicago kind of seems like a mess in the quarterback realm. I can see Fields getting in there.
Yeah, they don't even know if they're going to keep Foles or
they just spend a top pick on a quarterback. And the thing is now with the rookie contracts, you kind of want to throw them in there.
Yeah,
for the salary cap thing.
Eyes were on Jimmy Garoppolo to see if they're going to keep him or not.
Over in San Fran.
Yeah, and apparently he's had a really good camp and good showing, and he's throwing the ball. He's a smart guy. He's just, I just don't think he's the caliber that they want or necessarily the run-pass option they want.
I don't know. I'm going to trust Shanahan on this.
Oh,
and whatever he decides, because you're a San Francisco guy and you like Shanahan as a coach, right?
I do.
I mean, that's your team,
right?
And I kind of feel like whatever Shanahan says, that's probably the 99% that's what should happen. He knows just 5,000 more times about football than I. We'll default. He's one of the. Let's just say he's one of the brighter minds in football.
Yeah. Hey, have you been out to swing by the UT campus?
Yeah, I go by there all the time.
Have you seen the Moody?
I live in that area.
Have you seen the Moody basketball?
Yeah, I've seen it from I-35.
That thing is moving along fast.
Yeah, that's going to be a first class venue.
Oh, they say it's going to be the best of the nation.
I'm so excited about Chris Beard. I've been seeing pictures of him on social media. He is a man of the people. Have you ever heard of Jenny's Little Longhorn Saloon and Chicken Poop Bingo?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
He was caught roaming around there drinking a few beers. With the general population, and I love it. And I think he was over at Mean Eye Cat too.
Right, he was over at the baseball game. He got to fire the cannon.
Oh yeah,
he did. Sark did. Yeah, and I saw all of them mosey around up in the suites.
Yeah.
And they were just like.
It seems like they got some really relatable coaches on campus right now.
Interesting.
You know,
yeah,
it's a difference from like a Tom Herman type of mentality.
Right. You know what I love about Sark is that he has so many stumbling blocks that when he started, because he took off in Washington, he did really well at UW, and then he. Went to USC and had his downfall.
Well, you got to before then though. I think to talk about Sark, you really need to talk about him working under Pete Carroll at USC, because I mean, he was very instrumental in the offense of some of those USC teams. You can compare to some of the greatest teams of all time.
Yeah.
And then he gets the Washington job, and then comes back to USC and has problems.
Right, and they thought they had their coach for the next 15-20 years. And then he had his problem, and everybody loves a good redemption story. And he went to Alabama twice.
He went to Atlanta in between two.
And
the Falcons,
very well rounded. Mm-hmm. And I've read a couple articles where Saban's biggest nightmare was COVID, when he could not be on the sideline.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had to give the controls to Sark. And when Sark was there, those are two phenomenal years in football up there in Alabama, and Sark said that was one of his proudest moment when he got to get the reins. That he was trusted enough. Through his whole redemption cycle, comes in. I think he's doing all the right things. I did not feel this buzz when Herman was selected, nor when
Strong
was selected. I didn't feel this buzz.
I felt the buzz when Herman was selected.
Did you really?
Yeah, because he was the guy that
from
U
of H.
Well,
yeah.
Not the U of H, but really he was the guy that took the third string quarterback from Ohio State, the Cardell, and won the national title, which was totally surprising because they had lost JT Barrett. Names escape me, but the other quarterback that won the Big Ten, player of the year, And he had two quarterbacks down and went into the play. He actually went into the Big Ten championship game, killed Wisconsin. I think they killed Oregon or somebody, and then I can't remember the whole thing, but that's who I thought the guy was, the OC that was leading a third string quarterback to a national title.
Right.
And I thought he had some good buzz. But the thing I like is Sark's coming in, and you say he's got some, you know, the redemption and all that stuff. I don't know how much redemption there really is. I mean, I think a lot of his, and I won't call it a downfall, maybe just learning from experiences at Washington and USC, is the guy, you know, they gave a 30-year-old kid a lot of money. I mean, like, really, if you would have given me a lot of money at that age, I'd probably just be dead. You know, I mean, this guy's, you know, he probably, you know, got a little too loose. Maybe, you know, I don't think it was a huge issue, but he realized it was maybe some sort of problem, came back. Is better than ever, and I don't know. I'm excited for this. I love it.
Texas, again, doing really good in recruiting, portal recruiting. There's so many different facets of recruiting now because you've got the portal, you've got JC transfers. Every day it's going on.
And one thing that Sark's got to be excited about is number five. Bijan Robinson, I watched him play last year, and you don't need to see him carry the ball too many times to realize that guy's probably the best player on the field every time you lace him up. He's got some horses to work with.
Right. Put it that way. Stick with us through the break. If we were going to be coming back with the Colonel from Abilene University.
No, it's Abilene Christian.
Abilene Christian. But no, he's not. I don't think they're out there. But he's going to be talking to us about the TCU.
The golf cart.
The golf cart he's got. We'll see what's going on. So we'll catch you on the backside of the back. We'll be back.
This is Trace Atkins wishing my friend Craig Flowers all the best in Austin, Texas. I'll see you on the high ground.
Well, Trace, Colonel's not in Austin, Texas right now. He's in Abilene. Colonel, you online?
You bet, gentlemen. It's funny out here in Abilene that Trace Atkins and Johnny Oates led back with that, because Trace was just here performing with another country music legend. So he was just here in Abilene. Now Johnny Oates comes back with that. I'm reporting live from the field house in Abilene, Texas. I know you want to get to the golf cart, and we will. The field house is an interesting place. It's owned by the Bain brothers. Justin Bain is the primary owner, his brother Jacob Bain, and little brother Jonathan Bain, who's playing in the IFL right now in Frisco. He's a quarterback who really is an NFL type guy, 6 foot six, just a gunslinger, and undefeated as an IFL indoor football league player right now. I think they're 5-0. Jonathan Bain, and what listeners may also find interesting about Bain is that older brother Justin Bain is now part of a TV show called The Field House on HGTV, which is on Discovery Plus, where he's working with the couple out of Waco that does all the renovations to the homes. And so there's been TV crews around here on and off. And some folks have probably already seen some of those segments from The Field House. The Bain brothers, just a remarkable story, really came from nothing and had some great opportunities that they took advantage of. Hardworking West Texas boys who have really put things together. We're here at the Abilene Air It Out Camp and Academy, as you said, Jamie, where words like courage, loyalty, duty, respect, service, integrity, and honor have been a part of the Air It Out mission for the last 32 years. And we use football as a leadership laboratory, a developmental experience to hopefully create young men of character who not only win on Thursday and Friday nights, but also in life. Whether you're David Thomas or Cody Hodges, or so many others, Casey, you're going to play your last down. And what you load that prefrontal cortex up with in your early years is really going to define what kind of man you're going to be after your playing days are over. Interestingly enough, I'm out here under a tent right now outside. They've got a full turfed football field behind the field house, and I'm looking for David Thomas's earbuds that he left here last night. So, you know, he can win a Super Bowl, play in another and win a natty with Vince Young and Casey, and still he leaves his gear all over the place. So I'm trying to police up David Thomas's earbuds.
Hey, Colonel, who was that young kid that that had the prosthetic that was playing quarterback? Amazing footage you sent me.
Yeah, I did. It's you know, what's interesting about Air It Out is the word is out. I mean, we had families here from Rochester, New York, and Rochester and the whole state of New York has been locked up like an all-cheese diet. And, of course, folks have got word that Air It Out is open and Texas is open. And so we had folks here from New York, from California, from Colorado, all coming in here. And we had some inspirational stories. And the young man, Ratliff, was his last name. You saw it on the back of his shirt there. Mm-hmm. Was born without a left leg. And so he's had about 15 different prosthetics. And I sat down and talked with the young man, and you know, he showed up at every drill ready to go. And when I asked him which of his prosthetics was his favorite, he said, "The one I'm wearing right now." He's about 10 years old. He said, "The one I'm wearing right now." And I said, "Why do you like it so much?" And he said, "Well, this is my fast leg." and that, you know, you could share that with W. Brown. And you, last night I got to play nine holes of golf with a couple of the coaches over here at Hardin-Simmons. And it was 100 degrees here on the turf over the last couple of days here in Abilene. And one of the coaches said, you know, here we are, you know, down to the last hour and a half. And Coach, rightly so, had a little snow cone truck secretly pull in for the last 30 minutes. Nice. Surprise to all the 170 campers we had here, ranging from seventh grade all the way up to going to be seniors. And he said, you know, here we're hot and bothered, and we've got, you know, prickly heat on our backs from being out here for four straight days. And then Ratliff shows up at our drill station with one leg,
yeah,
taking a snap under center, taking the shotgun, and just he can't get enough reps. Yeah. Another great story was we had a kid, first name was Garrison, and he stood up. And, you know, part of our training, Jamie, is, and you've been, you know, you've helped with some ideas on this. Part of the training has been, you know, body language and getting off the X and getting out of danger. And this young man in January at 8:40 in the morning woke up while he was in the shower. Brother knocks on the door. "You got to get out. You got to get out of here." Kid says, you know, "I'm in the shower." They get out and the house is on fire. Ah. House burned down in January with 2 inches of snow on the ground at 8:50 in the morning. They lost everything. And I said, "Well, what did you lose personally?" And his response was interesting. He said, "I lost all of my Air It Out t-shirts, hats, and my Xbox." So, you know, I wanted to share another story with you here about a young man that just came from a camp where he was invited. Now, you have these camps going on all around the great state right now, all around the country. And these big schools, and this particular school is a Big 12 school, invited this young man who's 6'5". He reminds you of David Thomas. He's 6'5". He runs a 4'8", 4'7". He plays quarterback and receiver, just like David Thomas. Now, this Big 12 school invites him, one of just a handful that are actually invited. The rest are there for the t-shirt and the experience. And he gets invited, and the coaches, all the assistant coaches that are running this camp, they all have their nose down in their apps the whole time guys are checking in and spending the day. Well, this young man, who's being recruited by about half a dozen schools, the coaches have their heads down in their apps so much because their apps weren't working where they were going to load all these 40 times and shuttle times into their, you know, little devices there. They never take a moment to shake the young man's hand, to meet his parents. And at the end of the camp, they all look around at each other and say, "Hey, did we meet with Coy Aiken? Coy Aiken, the kid we invited out of Stephenville."
Oh, my gosh.
The Aiken, you may know Aiken, the dad is the head rodeo coach for Tarleton State University. They're up in Wyoming right now in the college finals, believe it or not. He's got six Cowboys, Cowgirls up there competing for national championships. And all the coaches said, "No, I thought you were going to handle Coy. I thought you were going to handle." So now you've got a kid who's highly recruited. And by the way, other schools, other coaches are at these big camps. And it leaks. That information leaks out. By the way, this school is north of the Red River. This information leaks out to the other Big 12 schools and other schools. And so guess what, you know, guess what university has now picked up and shows interest in Coy Eakin as an athlete?
Who?
Texas A&M, an SEC school. So just because the human element of this thing beyond the app really probably cost this particular Big 12 school an opportunity to have a David Thomas-like athlete attend their school. Because the kid was excited to go up and visit this school north of the Red River. And by the way, it was not Oklahoma University, I should say. That's so my wife doesn't assume it's OU. There are a lot of schools north of the Red River in the Big 12. But now you've got a kid who, just because of his experience, by the way, if you want to go look at how good Coy Eakin is, just go look at his huddle. Yeah. C-O-Y Eakin, E-A-K-I-N. Just an unbelievable young man. He's either 6'4", 6'5", heck, he may even be 6'6". He wears a size 13 foot. But anyway, he was here. Just a little anecdote to some blind spots that are happening right now for some of these young assistant coaches who are assuming that the other people are handling business.
Lack of situational awareness will get you every single time. You got to have your eyes out and look at what you're doing and have a plan. Get away from that phone.
Yeah, well, you got to look up from your phone, assistant coaches. You've got some. There's a human element to this, and you know, it starts as many of you know. You got to have talent to get the invite, but then you better have a relationship with mom and dad.
Yes. Hey, before we close out of here, tell us. Everyone's texting in. They want to know about your new ride, sir.
Well, so we got some breaking news on the golf cart. It seats 6. It seats 6. This joker is as jazzed up as you can imagine. And here's the breaking news, it won't start. So we've been on I'm in Abilene. The golf cart is in Fort Worth, parked at Coach Schlossnagel's house in John Castor, who was the second baseman for the 1994 Southwest Conference champion Horned Frogs, who's got a lot of friends that are Longhorns, is over there right now with a trickle charge, and he cannot get the battery to charge. So I might have to go back to Schloss and say, hey, we might want to make an adjustment on our deal here a little bit. It is a cool golf cart, and I'm excited to be owning it, and it'll help us a great deal when we got to get around campus, especially my mother-in-law and others that'll come in for a TCU home game.
Nice. Awesome. Hey, and we'll be back, Colonel. We'll talk to you on the other side, and we will see you soon, sir. Coming back.
See you on the high ground.
The Texas Wine of the Week.
This is just a good song. A little bit UB40. There it is. And ladies and gentlemen, back from the high ground, we do have the, as our weekly, Brent Dickey Memorial Texas Wine of the Week. Brent was lost to us in a terrible alcohol accident. The bar ran out of his favorite beverage, so he left.
He just ran out.
Yeah, he just left.
Let's not forget Drew Brown with the Wilson and Goldrick Realty.
That's true. So the Brent Dickey Texas Memorial Wine of the Week this week is the 2015 Fall Creek Vineyards GSM Salt Lick Vineyard. A stunning wine, aroma of cherry, cordial, dried lavender, and a faint vanilla rise. With the glass and lead to sophisticated structure with lush, juicy red fruit and rustic herbal notes, a perfect burger wine.
Perfect burger wine. Yeah. What's a cordial?
I don't know. I just read this stuff. It's not. I don't write it.
And that was the wine of the week.
Wine of the week.
The Drew Brown Real Estate, Wilson Goldrick Real Estate, Wine of the Week.
And the Brent Dickey Memorial, always. Well, let's talk a little bit before we
yeah. Well, hey, can we get a little breaking news real quick? I just got word, Jamie, that from Florida, United States, Orlando, that one Anderson Bowdish won the USTA Orlando tennis tournament, I think, for like under 10.
How old is he?
I think he's 10. He's your eight, nephew. Nine, ten. You know what? They're all the same age to me.
You have a lot of athletes in your family, sir.
I know. I know. All of my nephews and nieces. Yeah, I know, right? The gene pool. Something. You know,
jumped the generation.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it jumped generations, but I just didn't get any of those genes. But man, my nephews are freaking fabulous athletes, and he won a tennis tournament today. So hey, buddy, I'm proud of you. Just want to give you a shout out and. Mm-hmm. You want to talk a little bit of Texas baseball going on out here?
What did you, off the 2005,
yeah,
we had a couple
man.
Texas Techs in, but the 2005 team was loaded with talent.
Yeah, and you were, and I wanted to just remind you, in 2005, the Big 12, I think, actually had 12 teams. And, you know, and you said they finished third.
They did.
But I want to say, like, that Nebraska was in there, and they were pretty tough. I want to say they might have finished first or second, but if a lot of listeners out there,
hey, I got a little bit of a breaking thing from Craig. He wants you to read his text on the specs line.
Okay.
The Big 12 University just called myself, apologizing and promising to make up the poor experience for Coy. They are listening.
Oh, wow. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's great.
Okay. Well, cool, Big 12.
Way to make it right.
If you want to call me about some improvements, text up here and I'll give you my personal number. I've got a lot of things you can do to improve your conference.
Or if you'd like to go ahead and talk to his nephew, he's a great tennis player, 9 years old, looking for a scholarship for the Big 12.
Anyways, we're talking about that 2005 team. I just wanted to name off some of the names here that people would probably recognize. The pitchers are being Adrian Alanis, Ken Kasperic. You had people like Drew Stubbs on that team, pitchers Jay Brent Cox. I mean, that was just a really good team.
It was a great team.
It was a great team.
And the funny part, it was a great team.
You had the Street Kids on it. That wasn't Jordan Street. I mean,
Houston
Street.
Yeah, but they came in third in the Big 12.
I know. The Big 12, you know, when they actually had 12 teams, was probably the best conference in the, you know, late 90s to 2000s.
Yeah.
And you just kind of look at some of these old Texas lineups, you're like, God, there's some really good players in there. Seth Johnston. I mean, it's just David Morrell. Texas baseball is just legendary, and we're so lucky and blessed in Austin to be able to have such a great team. To root for.
I'm so excited for tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a lot of fun. Sunday night, watching a little UT baseball. We're gonna be I'm gonna hang out in the deck and a couple of my buddies from the street coming down, bringing their dog Morty. I'm gonna watch the Big 12. Take it to the rest of the field out there. But did you made it to the last game, didn't you?
I went to the Arizona State game.
The Arizona State game.
I had a good friend invite me to the Sunday game for South Florida, but I'll tell you what, I went to the Arizona State game, packed house. I think it was like a clear night. It was 70 degrees. You know, in Dish Falk, does not let you down. When you go in there for a super regional or regional and the weather's perfect, I mean, the fan experience and the crowd there definitely helped rattle that Arizona State pitcher. I mean, you definitely get a home field vibe when you come into Dish Falk for playoffs.
I saw like the kid from USF that got just, I mean, it's a big field. Yeah. I don't think they've ever played in front of a crowd that big.
And congratulations to USF. Weren't they a four seed coming out of Florida?
Yeah. Ain't going to make it.
God, did they play well that first game, too. I mean, they only get – I mean, Texas was lucky to get out of there with a victory. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for the first couple innings – three runs in the first two, right?
Yeah.
We went blank the rest of the game.
Well, I was on the road and I was listening and I had turned the radio. I just got home at right when they were 3-0. Mm-hmm. UT was winning 3-0, and I'm like, game's done.
Yeah.
And I went in, and then next morning I find out they won 4-3.
Yeah,
that was a great.
Well,
game.
That ninth inning was just exciting because you know Ty Madden just pitched a great game. Name's escaping me. Reliever came in, pitched a good eighth. Ninth inning, man. South Florida just teed up a couple pitches, and next thing you know, it's 3-3. And then, two minutes later, Texas hitting a walk-off single to win the game. I mean, what an exciting way.
I'll tell you what.
Exciting game at the dish.
I'm very excited. Usually this time of year, if you're not involved with, you know, the CWS and you got baseball, you get the you've got the U.S. Open coming up, mm-hmm. you've got, you know, this is a great weekend.
Oh yeah, it's a couch weekend, buddy.
It is a couch weekend, and you know it's 100 degrees outside. You should be inside on a couch, but. You know, I'm just looking forward to UT football yeah. coming up. I'm just looking for football uh-huh. coming up. And then, but you got all these great events coming mm-hmm. up too, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Have you been golfing at all?
You know what? I've played a little bit more lately than I have in the last year. Last year, I didn't get to play much at all, but I got a good buddy that's kind of, you know, who's had some kids, but it's getting back in the mix, old Brad Futch out there. Yeah, I'm playing a little golf with him at Muni tomorrow morning.
Good for you.
So, you know what the problem is, though?
Save
We've
me.
Played out with Muni. And the city has got their heads up their rear end, if you know what I mean. They do not have any concessions or any water or anything out there, and they say it's due to COVID. I'll tell you what, you're going to lose more people to dehydration on a golf course than COVID. Last week was, by the time that round was over, my face looked like a tomato. I had to rush to 7-Eleven, get some Gatorades. It was brutal.
You know what? I want to go play with the revamped course downtown. What's the?
You want to go do a little Butler pitch and
putt?
Yeah,
pitch and putt. Fast Eddie's been out there. He said he loves it. And they've done a really good job restoring that place. And,
the home of the eighthsome. You can get groups of eights out there. And the rules are you can't wear shoes, though, right? And you have to have a tall boy and a brown bag.
and hire a homeless guy to carry your bag.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the Happy caddy. Gilmore caddy.
The Happy
would
Gilmore
be perfect.
Caddy.
I think I see them back in that ditch cleaning their socks, cleaning their clothes in the morning.
No, I really do. We need to get out there.
I'm down.
Let's do midweek sometime. Get out there. Maybe get Fast Eddie with us.
Yeah, we should take some headgear and talk through it the whole time.
Yeah.
Actually, nobody would want to listen to that.
The XJX radio podcast right
yeah.
there. That's right. But no, I'm so excited. The U.S. Open's coming up. Who do you got for the U.S. Open?
You know what? I'm going to pull for John Rahm. I just am. Everybody hates him, too, and I kind of do, too. But, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to think. The guy should obviously got his COVID
test.
But he kind of got ripped of 1.8 mil.
You know who got ripped? It was his caddy. Because his caddy had taken the shot. And, like, you know, he missed out on his payday.
Yeah.
Because that would have been. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Caddy missed out on the payday. Mm. But, yeah, hopefully he got a shot. Maybe he's going out there.
Johnny better. He should have thrown that caddy a few shekels. I would hope so after that. Because that ain't on the caddy. No. Caddy was ready, prepared. The caddy probably could have gone and played for him and shot. Those caddies are good at golf. He probably could have shot a 76 and maybe won that tournament.
That's
for
all he
him.
Needed. Probably all he needed.
But you know what's funny is they're saying, well, he could have played by himself or he could have followed the rules.
Well, he was following the rules. The rules are you can get tested or not get tested.
And he didn't. Yeah. So, you don't get money.
Good show. Thanks for listening to us. We'll see you guys next week in the high ground. Johnny, thanks a lot. Willie Brown, thank you a lot.
Peace.
Colonel, we'll talk to you. Peace.
When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle. That's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life.